on a summary class on hermeneutics, and we taught that if you are looking at a passage of Scripture and you can interpret it in its literal sense, that that is the way you should interpret it. And the passage that I'll share with you this morning concerning John the Baptist and his beheading should be interpreted in the literal sense. It is the historical accounting of his relationship with Herod and Herodias and how he was ultimately beheaded. That the literal sense is the right way to interpret this. But if you stop right there and you don't look any further, you leave a great wealth of spiritual information undiscovered. And so this morning, I want to take this literal event, and I want to teach it as an allegory, beginning with verse 17. It reads, "For Herod himself has sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John has said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. We would look to you and we would ask you that you would take control of these words now and that you would take them from my lips into all of our hearts that we might get a deeper understanding of our relationship to the sin nature. Now, Father, I'd ask you to use me this morning. Help me to make a certain sound. And I'd ask you also to bless all those families, all those individuals that give in support of this ministry. We thank you so very much, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So whenever you're trying to interpret a passage of Scripture, and this one again is the literal event, the historical event 2,000 years ago, but what does it mean to us as Christians 2,000 years removed? How do we benefit from this Scripture? And the first thing you do is as you read through a storyline like this, you put yourself in the lowest moral position. And it causes the Scriptures to open up to you, because if you read this and say, well, yeah, I'm represented by John the Baptist, you won't get much out of this. But properly, we should see ourselves as Herod, the one who commanded that the Baptist should lose his head. And then it begins to open up to us. So Herod in this storyline, if you'll see it as a type of the Christian, see Herod as a type of you. And see his wife, Herodias, who was his brother's wife, and his brother was still alive, and he married her. See Herodias as a type of the sin nature. And let me say this. Every human being has a sin nature. We inherited from Adam due to the fall. The sin nature is that bent in you that makes it very easy for you to do wrong and nearly impossible for you to do right. Well, Herodias, his wife, is a type of the sin nature. And you can see that they're in a very tight union. They are in relationship, as every unsaved person is in relationship with the sin nature. And even after you get saved, the sin nature is not eradicated. It's just made dormant, so that if you operate properly in Christianity, it does not ascend back to the throne of your heart. It stays dormant. But few of us get it right. Few of us get it right. Every now and again, you'll see that thing pop back up in you. And hopefully today, I can help you to understand how that comes about. For Herod, the Christian himself, had sent forth and laid hold upon John. John is a type of the Holy Spirit. He is a type of the Spirit of God within the Christian's life. And he laid hold on him and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, because John has said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Now, how many know the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon our lives? You don't have to have your brother's wife for the Holy Spirit to convict you. That's his job. He convicts the world of sin. He convicts God's people of our sinful activity, either by omission or by commission. He's that still small voice in the background that says, it's not lawful for you to do that. See thou do it not. And Herod, because of the beckoning of his wife, Herodias, who was a type of the sin nature, he put John into prison because he wanted to silence that voice. Now hear me today. The voice you hear of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction upon your life, it is the most precious thing you have going for you. To hear that still small voice, and I know, most of the time I hear from the Holy Spirit, he's telling me what I don't want to hear. He is never telling me, Brother Lincoln, how great you are. He's never telling me what a champion I have in me. He never says anything like that. He'll say, hey, your attitude wasn't right on that. Or I don't want you doing that. Stay away from that. I don't want you doing that. Or you need to come and spend some time with me in my word. How many have that kind of Holy Ghost? That's the real Spirit of God right there. If the Holy Spirit is telling you everything that you want to hear, you are not hearing the Holy Spirit, I dare say that's another spirit. And so John then is a type of the Holy Spirit. So then you have Herod, a type of the Christian who binds and quenches and silences John, who is a type of the Holy Spirit, and did so for the sake of Herodias, who is a type of the sin nature. You see, the adversary, but the opposite of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the sin nature in our lives. These two are contrary the one to another. The Bible says that the flesh, which flesh is the human body under the control of the sin nature, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It means the flesh has desires that are contrary to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has desires that are contrary to the flesh. And these two, the Holy Spirit and the sin nature, they're contrary to one another. And so you see in Herod's situation, he silenced, he quenched, he grieved the Holy Spirit by putting John into prison so that that voice was not so pronounced. I'm saying sometimes you and I can do the same thing. The Holy Spirit can speak to us and we know what he said, but we act like we didn't. And mentally we change channels. Intellectually, we change channels so that we're not hearing anymore. Let me get more mentally more focused right here so I'm not hearing that. And that's what Herod did. And he put John under constraints. And I wonder across the room, across our audience today, how many have the Holy Spirit in constraint so that he does not have the full latitude of dealing with us in every aspect of our life that he wants to. You see, every single one of us here today have a secret sin, bar none. The Holy Spirit is dealing all of us with different things, dealing with you about that, and you know what that thing is. That's the thing he comes again and again and again and deals with you on. But it's very easy to suppress his conviction and move in the direction that we want to do. And if you do that, you're doing that at the behest of the sin nature. Because what the sin nature and the flesh want to do is contrary to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. And so we change channels intellectually and we move in a different direction. This is exactly what Herod did. He bound up John, and he put him in prison, and it says, for Herodias' sake. In other words, Herodias, the type of the sin nature, she was prompting him. Shut him down. Shut him down. Shut him down. And although the sin nature may not speak to us in that sense, the results are the same in that sometimes we shut down the Holy Spirit because it's not pleasing to the flesh. The verse 18, for John has said unto Herod, it is not lawful for you to have her. Yeah, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He's the one that says, stop. Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop saying that. Stop thinking that. Stop. He's the one that diminishes us so that Christ can be exalted in us, so that he can rise up in us. But for Christ to increase, how many know, we have to decrease. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit, is to help us to decrease as Christ ascends to the throne of our hearts. Verse 19 says, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against John and would have killed him, but she could not. Understand something, the sin nature in all of us, the principle of sin altogether, has no respect for the things of God. I don't care how much you talk in tongues. The sin nature will still try to bear upon your life to cause you to engage in sinful activity. And if he can't get you to engage in sinful activity, here's what he'll do. Just prevent you from engaging in godly activity. He's fighting day in and day out. And every thought of your heart has to challenge that. And this is the struggle. This is the Christian struggle. This is what it is. It says Herodias, she had a quarrel. She had a grievance. She had a disagreement with the Holy Spirit. And again, the sin nature inside of you, depicted by Herodias, absolutely contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants for you and to happen in your life. And she would have killed him, but she could not. You know, if the sin nature could do anything to the Holy Spirit, it would have long ago done so, but it cannot. Incidentally, the Holy Spirit is God. He is what we call the third person of the Godhead, very God, entirely God. And so the sin nature is just a principle. It's just the satanic nature that inculcated within the human heart when Adam sinned in the garden, but it has no power at all to do anything to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has power to suppress the sin nature. And when we give ourselves to Christ, when we walk in obedience to Christ, when we give ourselves to follow him in terms of our prayer life, our study life, our obedience life, it causes the sin nature to be laid dormant and kept dormant so that it provides no influence over your life. That's where God wants all of us at. But the thing is that we are the deciding factor. See, Herodias could do nothing to John. Herod had to do it. And again, Herod is a type of the Christian. The sin nature can make you do nothing. You have to be in agreement with them. The battle place is the mind. That's where the pressure is applied upon the mind. And as the mind goes, the body follows. Is everybody with me? Verse 20 says, let me read into it. She would have killed him, but she could not, because Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Well, that kind of puts Herod in a better light, doesn't it? Except that, again, Herod being a type of the Christian, God doesn't merely want us to go part of the way with him. He wants us to go all the way with him. He doesn't want us to have our hand on the faucet as to how much Holy Spirit comes out. He wants us to take our hand off the faucet and let him control that. Let him control to what extent he's going to express himself in and through your life. So it says that she couldn't do anything because Herod feared God. Now, what this lets us know is fearing God is not enough. It's good. It's needful. We should all have the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is not enough. The fear, the reverence of the Lord should lead us to obedience. It should lead us to welcome God. I know I'm broke. I know I'm just flesh. But God, I need all of you that you can give me. I need all of you that I can have. Rather than to put the Holy Spirit in prison to silence his voice. He feared him, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and he observed him, and when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Meaning that John would tell him, hey, this is the way to go on some things. And Herod would do many of the things that John told him. Herod would do that. Just like you and me, many of the things the Holy Spirit tells us, we're willing to do that. But God doesn't want us to do many things. He wants us to do all things that he tells us. Everything that a man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God doth man live, that we give ourselves wholly to the work of God. Oh, and it's a challenge, saints. It's a challenge. You, as Paul said, you must die daily for the Holy Spirit to have his full latitude in your life. And I dare say none of us are there. I'm not there. I want to be there. I'm fighting. I'm struggling. I'm fighting the good fight of faith every day of my life. But this flesh wants to live. Have you ever noticed? You're trying to kill out flesh, and flesh is saying, no, I want to live. And so the struggle continues. He did many things, but he did not do all things. And the biggest problem that Herod had by putting John in prison, he shows that his heart was, I want to control John. I don't want John to control me. I want to control John. And that, I think, is the unspoken problem many Christians have with the Holy Spirit. I want to control what the Spirit is doing. I don't want the Spirit to control me. I want to be on the throne of my heart. He could have a little chair beside my throne, but I don't want him to have the throne of my heart, and I take the little chair. Come on, somebody. See, that's why we disobey him, is that we want him to be Lord of our lives as a figurehead, but in reality, we really don't want him to be the real Lord of our lives. I mean, that means I've got to take up my cross. That means I've got to follow you to self-crucifixion. That means I can't be as involved as I may be in the things of the world, and I've got to be more involved in the things of God. And we say, I don't want that kind of Lord. I want a Lord that'll do what I say. A Lord that will agree with me and see the wisdom of my decisions. That's the kind of Lord we want. Oh, that's good preaching. Now, you wonder, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I'm one of you. I have the same tendencies. But the thing is that when you realize that, hey, this is, wait a minute, I'm trying to put the Holy Spirit in jail here, you have to repent. You have to repent and say, God, I will not restrict you. Do with me, you are my king. Do with me as you will. I am your bondslave. That's the heart of a true Christian. Look at Paul. Paul was very educated, well-to-do. He had a future in the upper hierarchy of the Pharisaical sect. But when God got a hold of his life, he reduced Paul to nothing. Every city Paul went into, he got beat or run out or both. He went from one prison to another prison to another prison. God used that man really to bring the gospel to the Western world. He used him greatly. But Paul had to totally pour himself out and say, God, I'm just your bondslave. He had to glory in his own weakness. And saints, that's the struggle for Christians. For all of us, it's the struggle. Now catch this. Verse 22, and when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Now Herodias is the daughter the daughter of Herodias obviously is the daughter of Herodias. But now get this, Herodias, a type of the sin nature, she's a woman that has offspring. This is her product. This is what she's produced was this daughter. The sin nature has a product as well. The sin nature produces acts of sin. And we see in this dance, if you can read between the lines, just imagine the king, they're drinking wine. He's got some more of his friends and those around, perhaps from the government, and they're about half drunk. And there's something fairly consistent about half drunk, unsaved men. They are predatory. And so they're watching this young girl, Herodias. It's his wife's daughter, so she's a young girl. She comes in and she dances before them, and it says that it pleased them. That term, it means in the Greek that she excited them emotionally with her dance. Most scholars would agree it would have had to have been very provocative. It would have been like watching Beyonce dance in today's culture. Or Foxy Red or Nicki Minaj. Have you ever seen how these women do? Don't, if you haven't. Now, I've checked them out. They can all sing. They have voices. They can sing beautifully. But for some reason, they have to get naked to sing. It would have been the very same. They practice the movements that impact a man's mind, jiggling flesh. Certain angles that they make sure is in that dance because it's provocative to the man's mind. This is the kind of dance that the young girl danced, and it says that she pleased those. She emotionally excited them. And the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And she went forth and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Now get this. Herod did not want to kill John the Baptist. It said that he wouldn't do it. And the sin nature, Herodias could not make him do it. He kept him in prison. I'm not going to kill this man. And just like that, you and I have a sin nature in us that pushes us in certain directions. It pushes us. And we can say, I'm not doing that. I'm a child of God. Here's the problem. When you watch the daughter of Herodias, when you engage with her, which represents the activities of sin. See, when you play with sin, it allows Herodias to ascend in power. The best thing for the Christian to do is don't have recreational sins in your life, because that allows the sin nature to get stronger and to rise to ascendancy. And because he had made this vow, see, when you're playing with sin, you'll make a deal with the devil. You'll be very quick to make a deal that later on you wish you had not have made. But she had excited his passions. He was excited. He made this boast unto the half of my kingdom. Ask whatsoever you will, and I will give it to you. She said, I don't want the half of your kingdom. I want you to quench that voice of the Holy Ghost, and I want you to quench it for good. That's what the sin nature said. Notice she didn't, the daughter didn't come out of her own heart with this. She went back and asked the Herodias. See, the activities of sin, they seem like they're nothing at all. But what you cannot see is behind the curtain. It is encouraging. It's strengthening the powers of the sin nature in your life. And there's, even in Christianity now, there are addictions across the spectrum of Christianity by people who are truly born again and truly love the Lord, but have played with the activities of sin, and now they're back under the domination of the sin nature. And somebody says, I've been there. That's why I know. You say, well, how do you get free from that? How do you stop? Repent. Repent. Come back to Jesus Christ. Tell him your foolishness and your folly and say, God, I'm so sorry. I need your power to put this sin nature back under my feet. And then leave the little woman alone, the little daughter, leave her alone. The activities of sin, it's a danger to the Christian. And listen, you don't have to have your sin problem. It may not be the wife of your brother. It may not be some big, terrible sin, but if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, that's the biggest sin in the world for you, whatever that may be. Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. She went forth and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway and with haste. Sin would jump on you that fast. Straightway means immediately and with haste. That's how fast the sin nature will take advantage of you. As soon as he gets you over leveraged, as soon as he gets you leaning a little bit too far, he's got you and he knows it. It's a trap. She came forth straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. By and by means right now. And she said, I want his head in a charger. So she knows it has been severed from the body. Otherwise, the king would just say, bring John up here and you can have his head. There's his head right there on his shoulders. But she said, no, I want it in a charger. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, and for the sake of them which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison. Now, halfway through this story, we see Herod being pleased by the daughter of Herodias. He was having pleasure. I mean, the pleasures of sin are just for a moment. They're just for a short period of time. It's surprising how short the pleasure of sin can be, leveraged against an eternity of God's wrath. It's surprising that we make those kind of decisions. And thank God for God's mercy. Thank God for God's grace. Thank God that he knows that we are but flesh. But so in one moment, he's enjoying the pleasures of the activities of sin. The trap is set. It's sprung. It's got him. And now it says the king was exceeding sorry. This is the same thing that plays out in my life and yours. If we dance with the daughter of Herodias, within just a moment's time, as soon as that spiritual fall comes over our minds, you're going to be dealing directly with Herodias, the sin nature. You'll be directly dealing with her. Incidentally, you cannot, in and of yourself, defeat the sin nature. If the sin nature ascends back to the throne of your heart, you can fight all you want to, but understand something. Before he ascended to your heart, you was already fighting. And now you give him a position of power and strength. Without the help of God Almighty, you're going to have a difficult time. But thank God that he gave us the repentance, that he gave us the ability to return unto him. In fact, he said, return unto me and I will return unto you. He was exceeding sorrowful. Yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes were set with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. Now, here's what you have to see in this story. Yes, it was the activities of sin that deceived Herod. Yes, it was the cunningness of Herodias, the sin nature, that entrapped him. But this final verse said the king sent the executioner. It wasn't the daughter of Herodias that sent the executioner, and it wasn't Herodias. The king is guilty of sending the executioner. It goes on to say, and the king commanded the head to be brought. You can blame it on nobody else. This sin falls on the head of Herod. It's his fault. You know, we easily will say, well, the devil made me do it. Remember Flip Wilson? For those who are of that age group, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. But if the devil made you go out and drink a bottle of gin and get drunk, and you came back and said, well, the devil made me do it, I would say to you, let's go see whose fingerprints are on the bottle. Because you and I are the ones that are guilty. Because we have power to manage the sin nature through the power of the Holy Spirit if we will stay obedient to the Holy Spirit. This is the danger of sin in our lives, is that it will reignite and re-enthrone the sin nature in our lives, and he's dominant. Remember before you got saved? How many had addictions before you got saved? I raised my hand for the rest of you. But that shows you how strong the sin nature is when you look at the people in California that are, I don't know what this zombie drug they're doing, but they do this drug and they just stand like this all day. They're just drugged out. The drug, whatever it is, it eats holes into their flesh. Their arms and their legs just eat holes. But yet, as soon as they come down, they're like, I need more of that drug. The sin nature is dominating every decision they make. The alcoholic laying in the gutter that can't get delivered. It's the sin nature dominating his decisions. So that he's doing actually what he does not want to do. Nobody grows up and says, man, I'm going to grow up and be one of the best alcoholics this world has ever seen. Yeah, man, I'm gonna drink until all my organs shut down. I mean, that's my goal. Nobody does that. It's the Holy Spirit that dominates the Christian. The king sent an executioner and commanded that his head should be brought. The executioner went and beheaded John in the prison. And the Holy Spirit is forever silenced. He will never hear that still small voice of John again. Forever silenced. I'll give you this last scripture as I close. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 32. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote a very little portion of it. But Moses says in Numbers, be sure, your sin will find you out. It will find you out. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we love you so much. We thank you, oh God, that you've given us this accounting, that you've given us this historical event, and Lord, that you've given us spiritual eyes that we can read into it, Lord, and that we can extract important information that's needful for the Christian life. Father, we ask you now, all of us in here have areas of our life in which we are very weak, areas of our lives that we need you, Lord. We don't need less of your Holy Spirit. We need more of your Holy Spirit. So right now, across the room, if you're able, would you stand to your feet with me if you're able and just begin to reach out to God? Whatever that area is that Holy Spirit has been dealing with you about, bring that to the very top of your heart and just offer that up to him. God, this area right here, Lord, you know where I'm at. You know how I've struggled. You know how I've failed. Father, I ask you to dominate this area of my life. Help me not to push you off. Help me not to push you away. But, oh God, help me to submit myself unto God, to bring every thought into subjection to my King. Come on, just reach out to the Lord and ask him for help this morning. Just reach out.
Yes, Lord, we just ask for your help, Jesus. We just ask for your help, God, because we know that we cannot do it without your Holy Spirit, Lord. So help us not to quench the Spirit, Lord, because your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Lord. And when we quench that Spirit, Lord, we technically bind our very selves. So, Father, help us, Lord, not to quench that Spirit. Help us to hear from you, Lord. Help us to say yes to what you are doing, Lord. Help us to just simply lay whatever it is down that you want us to lay down, Father. Amen. Well, thank you guys once again for coming out. Real quick, if you haven't given, please go ahead and do so now. As you guys know, there are several ways to give. So go ahead and do that if you haven't. And of course, please join us back for the next service that starts in about 1 hour at 11. And also, please also join us this Wednesday for our Bible study, which is titled Deep Dive into the Bible. With that being said, thank you guys for coming out. Love you guys, and you are dismissed.